Okay, so imagine this. You're at a baseball game, right? The sun's out, everyone's having a good time cheering, and then bam, a foul ball comes flying straight at you.
Oh yeah, talk about a mood swing from excitement to duck in cover.
Exactly. It's that sudden risk that we're going to be looking at today.
Yeah, that split second moment of danger.
That's at the heart of our deep dive today.
Yeah, we're looking at a case that really changed things up in New York. Aikens v. Glens Falls City School District.
Glens Falls City School District.
It's all about how courts view the responsibility of these baseball field owners, you know?
Let's set the scene, okay? It's 1976, a high school baseball game at Glens Falls.
Classic.
And we've got Robin Aikens. She's watching from the third baseline, about 60 feet away from home plate.
Okay.
And here's the thing. There's no protective screening where she's standing.
I see where this is going.
They had the standard backstop, behind home plate, 24 feet high, 50 feet wide. And there was a small fence along the baselines, but that's it.
So that detail about where Aikens was standing, that's important, right?
Super important because it all comes down to this idea of zones of risk
Zones of risk
on a baseball field.
within the field,
The
yeah.
board had to figure out, was the school district liable,
Yeah.
even though Aikens was outside that main protected area?
Right.
Tough question.
Yeah.
So Aikens is watching the game, and all of a sudden, this line drive foul ball comes whizzing towards her and tragically hits her right in the eye.
Oh, wow.
It's a serious permanent injury.
Yeah, that'll do it.
It's a reminder that those foul balls, they can really pack a punch,
Absolutely.
even if you're not right in the middle of the action.
Even if you think you're safe.
And so this incident brings up a huge question.
It does.
Should the school district be held responsible for
Yeah.
Aiken's injury, even though they had, that standard backstop behind home plate?
They did what was considered standard at the time, yeah.
Well, the jury in the initial trial thought so.
They did?
They found in favor of Aiken's.
Interesting.
They said the school district was 65% responsible.
Wow. Okay, so they actually put a number on it. So what happened then?
Well, they awarded her $100,000 in damages,
Okay.
which was then reduced to $65,000 to reflect that, portion of fault.
Right.
But the school district, they weren't ready to give up.
Oh, I bet.
They appealed the decision.
Makes sense.
So this wasn't, an open and shut case.
No, not at all.
It went all the way up to the New York Court of Appeals,
Whoa.
the highest court in the state.
The big leagues.
What were the judges focusing on during these appeals?
Things got really interesting when they started talking about this limited duty rule.
Limited duty rule?
Have you heard of this?
I have not.
Basically, it says that a baseball field owner, they don't have to screen the entire field.
Really?
Yeah, just make sure there's proper screening behind home plate,
Oh, interesting.
where most of the dangerous balls are going to go.
So they're like, we'll protect you from the most obvious danger, but after that, you're on your own.
Kinda, yeah. It's like we've done our part now. Be careful.
I bet the court had to think about a lot of different things when making that decision,
Oh, for sure.
like the safety of the fans,
Sport safety is a big one.
but also like the traditional experience of watching a baseball game.
Right. A lot of people, they love those unobstructed views. The
Right.
court didn't want to ruin that.
Yeah. It sounds like a tough balancing act.
Definitely.
But it gets even more interesting because not all the judges agreed on this limited duty rule, right?
You're right. The dissenting judges, they had a different take on it.
Yeah. What do they think?
They said this whole limited duty thing, it was basically bringing back this old idea of assumption of risk as like a complete defense.
Assumption of risk.
That's a complete defense.
Now, I might need a quick law lesson here.
Sure.
What's the difference between assumption of risk and like comparative negligence?
Okay, so imagine you decide to walk across a frozen lake,
Okay.
even though there are signs everywhere saying danger, thin ice.
Right.
If you fall through, well, you assumed the risk.
Yeah, you knew it was
Yeah.
dangerous.
You knew it was dangerous, but you did it anyway.
Okay.
Comparative negligence is more about sharing the blame.
Okay.
So let's say someone spills some water on the floor in a store and they don't clean it up,
Okay.
and you slip and fall.
Right.
Well, both you and the store might be considered partially at fault.
Okay, so in this case, the dissenting judges were saying the jury should have been able to consider things like how much it would have cost the school district to extend that protective screening.
Exactly. They
Oh,
even did the math.
really?
Yeah, extending the screen, it probably would cost around $400.
Not a lot.
Not a lot at all, especially to potentially prevent a serious injury.
Right.
So to them, it seemed like the majority opinion was kind of ignoring this whole system of shared responsibility that New York had adopted.
So we've got this like big legal debate all because of one foul ball at a high school game.
Yeah, it's amazing how these things can snowball, isn't it?
It really shows how something that seems simple can become this really complex legal question.
Absolutely, and it makes you think about all the other cases out there just waiting to happen.
So what happened next?
Well, they decided to stick with it. The Court of Appeals, they upheld that limited duty rule.
So no liability for the school district then.
Right, they were off the hook. The court's reasoning, it was based on a few things. First, they said that going to a baseball game, it just comes with some risk, you know?
Right, you can't expect to be completely safe.
Exactly. And then they also said that a lot of fans, they like those open views.
Yeah,
You
makes
know, they
they
don't want a
look.
bunch of screens blocking everything.
Right, it would kind of change the whole experience.
Exactly. And then their third point was that they felt like the backstop that was already there, that was enough protection for the most dangerous area.
Behind home plate.
Right. So they basically drew a line and said, okay, a baseball field owner's duty of care, it goes this far and no further.
So that limited duty rule, did that only apply to New York?
Actually, no, it had a big impact all over the country. Yeah, a lot of other states, even though they have their own laws, they saw what New York did and they started adopting similar rules.
Interesting.
You know, recognizing that fans, they got to be responsible for their own safety too.
So even though it was a New York case, it really started a nationwide conversation.
Absolutely, a conversation about how to balance safety and enjoyment in places where there's always going to be some risk.
And it's not just baseball either, right?
Nope. Think about hockey games, concerts, even amusement parks.
Oh, yeah, good point.
They all have some level of risk.
And the courts have had to figure out where to draw the line.
Yeah, between the owner's duty to protect people and the people's responsibility to be careful themselves.
You know, it makes me think about all the technology we have now. Instant replays, all these advanced stats.
Even AI that can predict where a ball is going to land.
Right.
Yeah.
Could any of that have changed the outcome of the Aikens case?
It's a great question. You know, those dissenting judges, they argued that extending the screen wouldn't have cost that much.
Right, like $400?
Right. Yeah. But imagine if they had technology back then that could actually tell them how likely it was for a foul ball to reach different parts of the stands.
Yeah, it makes you wonder if that would change what's considered reasonable care.
It really does. Could a stadium say, hey, we've got this data that shows there's a higher risk in these sections, so if you sit there, it's your choice?
Right. Or could the fans use that same data to say that the stadium didn't do enough to protect them?
Yeah, it gets really complicated really fast.
It feels like we're in uncharted territory.
We are, and that's why cases like Aikens are so important. They show us how hard it is to apply these old laws to new technologies.
Aikens might be from the 70s, but it's
They're
still relevant today.
definitely still relevant.
So we talked about legal precedents and zones of risk and
A
technology.
lot to unpack.
But what does it all mean for the average person who just wants to go to a game and have a good time? What should we be thinking about? I think it definitely makes you think about where you're sitting. You know,
Yeah.
do you want to be closer to the action or do you want to be, you know, in a safer spot? Maybe it even makes you think about getting some shatterproof sunglasses.
That's a good idea. I mean, we can't eliminate all the risk,
Right.
but we can at least make smart choices.
Be informed.
Right. And it also shows that stadium owners, they have to do their part too.
Yeah.
You know, they gotta provide some protection, especially in those areas where it's really dangerous.
Yeah, so it's all about finding that balance
Exactly.
between having fun and being safe.
Enjoying the game, but also keeping an eye out.
But let's dig a little deeper here. Aikens v. Glens Falls wasn't just about, you know, physical safety.
No, it wasn't.
It was about some really important legal principles, too.
It gets to the heart of some really big questions.
Yeah, like where do we draw the line between individual responsibility and the responsibility of businesses and organizations to keep people safe?
Right. Who's responsible when something goes wrong?
It's like those signs you see at some stadiums that
Yeah.
say, "Warning, you are entering an unscreened area. Be alert for batted balls."
Right. They're basically saying, hey, we're letting you know it's risky here.
But it's your choice.
Exactly. And that goes back to that whole idea of assumption of risk.
Right. If you know there's a chance you could get hit by a ball and you still choose to sit there.
You're accepting that risk.
Yeah.
And that's something the courts have been trying to figure out for a long time.
And with all this new technology, it's only getting more complicated.
Oh, absolutely.
What happens when we have AI that can tell us exactly where a foul ball's going to land?
Yeah, does that change things?
Does it change who's responsible?
Big questions.
So what's the final takeaway from Aikens v. Glens Falls?
Well, it gave us the limited duty rule, which is a really important legal precedent, but it also started this conversation about responsibility and risk that we're still having today.
It's like a ripple effect.
It is, and it reminds us that even something as simple as a foul ball at a high school game, it can have a huge impact on the law and on society.
And it shows that even a case from the 1970s can still be relevant today.
Absolutely.
It makes you wonder what people will think about Aikens v. Glens Falls in the future, you know, when they're facing their own challenges.
Right, when they're trying to figure out how to deal with some new technology or some new problem.
It's a reminder that the law is always changing.
It's constantly evolving, yeah.
Well, this has been a fascinating deep dive into Aikens v. Glens Falls City School District.
It has.
We've really explored the intersection of sports law, personal responsibility, and how our legal system is always adapting.
I've enjoyed it.
Thanks for joining us.
It's been my pleasure.
And to all our listeners out there, stay safe and maybe think twice before you try to catch that next foul ball.
Good advice.